But you know, we mustn't forget that the beggar who is sitting in the marketplace is completely deaf in so much as far as listening to the song that is coming from the mockingbird is concerned.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bond, I don't get the connection.
Ah, you will. You will.
Simsalabim.
Welcome to the James Bond Complex. My name's Matt.
My name's Edgar.
And boy, do we have a discussion for you this afternoon or whenever you listen to this podcast.
I'm recording this on a Sunday afternoon. It's the first weekend of spring, by the way.
Yes.
You know, spring means new things. Flowers come back. Beauty out of horror. Beauty.
Beauty.
And I was thinking about something the other day. I was thinking about the different versions of Casino Royale that exist. You know, the TV version, that one starring, what's his face that came out in 2006?
Daniel Crane?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Anyways, we'll find out when I go back to the website I made there, craignotbond.com. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to watch that classic I hadn't seen in a while, Casino Royale 1967, just to reaffirm, to reconfirm my thoughts and sentiments that it is a complete and utter masterpiece.
Is it the best or the best? Well, the ultimate. I honestly, I mean, Peter Sellers, Orson Welles, James Bond. To me, when I think of James Bond, that's who I think of, Peter Sellers.
Classic Bond girl and Ursula Andress.
Is she better in this than in Dr. No?
In better in this than in what?
The other movie.
Don't know what you're talking about. Oh,
my mistake.
Never heard of it. So she's a classic Bond girl. I was blown away as I watched this. I felt like I was... It was like a two-hour hand job.
Oh! Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's how good it felt. That's how good it felt.
Yeah, I was. I like that movie a lot, but yeah, it's not like a blow. Like a good massage.
At the time we're recording this, we're a week removed from our Colonel Sun recording. And in that, we discussed the chapter where Colonel Sun Liang Tan explains to James Bond that he's through pain, Bond is going to, together, they will attain a new, almost like a religious, metaphysical experience, an extrasensorial experience avec les astres.
Oh, this is definitely it.
Absolutely.
I mean, look, the sets are gorgeous. I'm completely honest. The sets are fantastic. And you have Orson Welles, and it's not young Orson Welles or end of his life. I'm voicing, what's his name in the Transformer? Megatron? No. Unicron. Mm. He's not voiced.
Like the second best performance ever.
Yes.
The first one being this movie.
But man, like when he's threatening and when he's doing his magic trick, you're just, wow, I'm in awe. That's such amazing direction.
I couldn't agree with you more if I tried, Matthew. The movie was so good. And we all know the story of Casino Royale because we read the book. Surprisingly faithful adaptation,
oh, yes.
By the way. It's almost
word for word.
Word for word, really.
Surprisingly so. I mean,
I know. It's really unbelievable. And so the movie was so good. I said, this movie can't possibly get any better. And then Le Chiffre does a levitation magic trick. I said,
That's in the book. That's in the book, right? If I remember correctly, he does some magic trick to distract James Bond.
I haven't read it in a while.
I think they move some stuff around because the flying saucers is earlier in the book and it's later in the movie.
Did the book come before the film or after the film?
I think almost at the same time.
Almost the same time. Oh, okay.
Like a few, maybe a year or two.
And I think what's, you know what my favorite thing about this movie is? Apart from Barbara Boucher, is it finally, the true reason, I'm going to come clean to you, Matthew, who I consider a friend and the listeners.
I think I know what you're going to say. Go ahead.
We finally have a movie, a great film, that confirms the 007 code name.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. It's such a brilliant idea. It makes perfect sense. Yeah, it's not stupid or comedic at all. It is brilliant. It's a masterpiece. I mean, people who say that the code name thing is a stupid idea. I mean, it's such a brilliant idea implanted in this movie.
They're stupid. People that say the code name is a dumb idea, they lack imagination. I feel sorry for them.
Spies, I'm pretty sure in real life they do that. Because, I mean, if it confuses the viewer, it confuses real spies. So, mm-hmm. I mean, how can it's perfect. It makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's really well explained in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, we're just going to do this. I love it. I love it. Like I said, it just went on and on and on and
on. It never stops. And every performance is super nuanced. I mean, you can understand all the motivation of every character from M to Moneypenny to James Bond to Madabond.
Well, what you mean is every character's motivation from James Bond to James Bond to James Bond to James Bond.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, speaking of depth, you know, I'm an actors and actresses kind of a guy, and I like range. Show me range. Just don't do the same thing all the time. Who shows up in this movie? None other than Peter Sellers, who is so good at range, so good at playing Napoleon, so good at playing Adolf Hitler, James Bond, a background expert. At this point, it's like, I don't really need to see another Peter Sellers film ever
again.
Has
he done anything after that?
If he did, I don't care.
Really? I mean, I think he passed away recently.
He lives on in my heart.
Oh, and he's so brilliant in this movie. Also, I mean, who else is in this movie?
David Niven.
David Niven, man. We have David Niven, Orson Welles, and Peter Sellers in the
Ursula
same
film. Ursula Andress. I've always, you have Joanna, what's her name? Joanna Pettit, whoever plays Mata Bond.
Yes.
Mata Bond. Very, just a delightful.
Aren't the ladies in this movie?
Well, Miss Moneypenny, who's played by Barbara Boucher. I've seen her in one or two other films, and... Oh.
No, man. I mean, you have the best Bond car ever. He drives an old-timey, I think it's a Bentley, with the top down, with the goggles. And it's just, wow, man, it's a sexy modern car like we've never seen. Move over, Aston Martin. I mean, I want this car.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, the greatest comedian of this and any other generation, Woody Allen.
He's perfectly cast. He's the most threatening villain in film history.
I was terrified.
I mean, Jesus. And his plan to kill all the population of people higher than 5'6", all men, just so he can have all the lady. It's brilliant. Makes perfect sense. It's cruel and it's cold and calculating.
I think this is the sort of film like Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung would have had a field day, you know, about inferiority complex and the psychology. Really get in there and dig deep into the many facets of Dr. Noah.
Dr. Noah. I mean, it's a totally original idea for a name. Like, he's a doctor? Noah? It's in the name. It's Dr. Noah? You're not too sure about him. He's sketchy.
God, no, telling me he's sketchy. I mean, after a movie like, you watch a movie like Casino Royale 67, I mean, where do you go from there?
I don't know. Transformers, the movie? I mean, you follow up with...
Speaking of religious experiences, that was quite something as well.
Quite something, yeah.
I mean, so on a scale of... on a scale of 10 to 11, where 10 out of 10 means it's a fantastic movie and 11 out of 10 means it is the best film ever, give it a 12?
I would give it a 27.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice little number. Give it a 69.
So,
well, you got magic, music, girls.
Brain manipulation,
psychedelic, visuals and music, chases, action, Native Americans.
I mean, the ending. We have to talk about the ending. I mean, it is such a giant battle. Like
which is exactly what I like. I like when my movies end with meaty battles.
Yes, I mean, we can understand what's going on. It's really clear. The direction is simply they couldn't make this good a movie with only director. I think they have like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. There's like a lot of directors and the screenwriter. You can't write a story this good, this cohesive, this brilliant with just one man. No. And man, even Ian Fleming said that is the best movie he ever saw.
No, he's quoted as saying that.
Yes.
What's in that article there?
Yeah, that article. Really,
it was, I mean, when I read that, I did, you know, I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, what else is new? I mean, what do you think he thinks about that?
Yeah, I mean, he's still around then.
Yes, he is. No, I remember that.
I mean, he doesn't do much anymore, but I mean,
he's sort of a recluse. I mean, I think when our friend Fleming saw Casino Royale 67 and said, well, they've outdone me. There's nothing else I can do. I'm retiring. You know, I'll fake my own death and just retire to Jamaica.
Jamaica, yes. Mm. Yes. I mean, what else do you have? I mean,
I blew my load. I mean, it's an extraordinary piece of... Look, you have... And this is what a lot of people don't understand in this world. You have movies, that's fine, and you have cinema.
Yes.
This is cinema. This is film.
I mean, Devil's Advocate, we'll compare it to the Daniel Craig version. Mm. The Daniel Craig version, man, it's too violent.
Yeah, it takes itself a little seriously.
I want my James Bond to be a gentleman, and he's very promiscuous. And I need like David Niven, who plays the original James Bond in this movie, because that's the brilliant plot point that they completely scrapped for the Daniel Craig version.
Well, you know, there's no arguing with bad taste, so they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
They really didn't get like the nature of the character of the universe. No, you can't have only one James Bond. It's lame.
You said you need your James Bond to be a ladies' man. I need my James Bonds to be ladies' men, and I need my James Bonds to be
ladies'
men.
They are men. Lady James Bond.
Yeah, I need them to be ladies that go after their men.
Everyone's James Bond by the end of this movie. Everyone can be James Bond. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
whatever you are, you can be James Bond.
It's also a morality tale because one of them goes to hell at the end, the other one stay in heaven. I don't know.
And it warns it's also a warning for medical dangers because I mean, the villain falls on his own sword and swallows a pill that turns him into a thermonuclear bomb.
Yeah,
like it's very dangerous when you don't look at the medication that you take. So it's a warning. I mean, there's more to this movie than people seem to think.
Oh, there's so much more. There's so much depth. There's so many layering. Just the fact that the many intelligence communities come together. The fact that you have French actors, British actors, American actors, Swiss
lions.
Actors,
they have lions.
Tigers.
Tigers.
There were any bears?
I think they have sheeps.
They have sheep, yeah.
And they have otari.
I like the fact that this film is pro-animal because in the early going when Bond Prime is in Scotland and they're shooting pheasants or whatever, they actually stop shooting real birds and start shooting like mechanical exploding birds. That's this is progressive. This is what progressive filmmaking is.
It's so brilliant. I mean, everything is in focus.
Like laser characters, sharp. Laser sharp.
Everything is so sharp. My only complaint is that they only made the one.
My only complaint is that it's too short. Which had just gone on.
Oh, it's true. Yeah. It's barely 2 hours and 15 minutes. or something.
It felt like just the 15.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it goes by so quick. I mean, it's such a tight story, a plot. You can just let yourself go. You don't even have to like focus on all that much because it's everything's so clear that I mean, you get from point A to point B to point C. It's so it's such a great narrative.
Yeah, it is a great narrative, and it's a bold narrative. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like just going from A to B. I like it when filmmakers decide to be bold. Let's not do A to B. Let's go from A, go to T, pass through S, and then go back to B.
And then go to it's numerical. Bold. That's even better.
Exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark.
Question
yeah.
mark.
Of course. I mean, man, is that a good movie. I mean, honestly, I'm going to suggest something. Mm. What we should do, screw the James Bond complex. We're at a Casino Royale 67 complex. And every episode we talk about this movie. From here on to the end of the end of times.
So I guess
we'll go through every minute.
Yeah,
and we'll discuss every minute for an hour, then watch another minute, discuss that minute for an hour, and we'll do that until the end of time.
Yeah, this.
So when we are done with watching the movie, we'll watch it backwards, and I'm sure it's gonna make as much sense if we watch it backwards because it's gonna be the story of a man that leaves hell and. Becomes alive.
He returns to innocence.
Exactly.
I know. So tune in next week, listeners, when we review the opening scene of this movie where Peter Sellers checks out René Mathis's dick in a public urinoir. And signing off, I've been Edgar.
I'm Matt. Mom, we'll see you on the other side. Take care.
Ciao.
Ciao.
How much did you tip the porter to let you in here?
I just showed him a little kindness.
How much?
Not too much. He's 83.
It's a good year.